you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
Well, Mara, I can't believe we're talking about yet another soap death, but we are. And I'm just so sad to report that Ben Masters, who played Julian on Passions, passed away at the age of 75. Now, Ben had been suffering from dementia, but ultimately it was complications from COVID that brought about his death. We spoke to several actors who worked with Ben, and I just love the story that Days' Eric Martsoff told us. So he played Ethan on Passions, and he shared that when he was trying to figure out how to wrap his mind around the general lunacy, in his words, of the love triangle he was playing, he went to Ben and kind of talked it out, and Ben said to him, "Son, stop reading the script so carefully. Read your paycheck." And I just think that is amazing and tells us so much about the man that Ben was.
Julian was probably my favorite character on Passions, and that had so much to do with Ben's portrayal. It's kind of a cliche to say that someone had a twinkle in their eye, but Ben certainly did. And when I think about like the zest and humor he brought to Julian, it makes me think of something Roger Howarth, who plays Austin on GH, said to me once, which is that he feels like if the actor is having fun, it invites the audience to do the same. Ben as Julian is such a great example of that. I only met him once, I think at a daytime Emmys party or something, but I remember so vividly how he was like everything I could have wanted him to be. He was charming, he was warm, and I will certainly remember him with great fondness.
Hear, hear. Now, there is some big news coming from Young and the Restless. Vail Bloom, who played Paul's daughter, Heather Stevens, from 2007 to 2010, is coming back in February. And she will not be alone. Lily Brooks O'Brien has been cast as Daniel's daughter, Lucy. Now, Vail was the first of three Heathers as an adult. We saw Emmy winners Eden Regal, who played All My Children's Bianca, and Jen Landon, who played As the World Turns as Gwen, subsequently assume the role, but, you know, they never really took off. I mean, even just based on type, the women are all so very different. So I'm curious to see how they're going to write Heather when she comes back. But I hope we get an opportunity to podcast with Vail because I want to hear all about her experience on Vanderpump Rules, a show on Bravo that I love. Now, also on YNR, Tracy Bregman is celebrating 40 years as Lauren Fenmore Baldwin. We have an interview with her in the new issue, and the show is planning a special Lauren-centric episode that will air next week. Look for Zach Tinker to return as Fen and Judith Chapman to log more episodes as Gloria.
And YNR isn't the only show with a big week ahead. On Days, Marlena dies. On B&B, Brooke confronts Bill and Sheila after finding out about their scandalous involvement. And speaking of scandalous involvements, GH's Cameron finds out that Jocelyn cheated on him with Dex. We're also going to see Denise Crosby's Carolyn, Liz's mom, back on the canvas. She seeks out her daughter to try to make amends for the questionable choices she made back in 1997 that are still haunting Liz to this day. So I got to talk to Denise about this, and I so enjoyed my conversation with her. Her best known role is as Tasha Yar on Star Trek The Next Generation, where she worked with Jonathan Frakes, who is married to Ginny Francis, Laura. And she told me such a fun story, which is that she was actually with Jonathan at a Star Trek convention when she got the offer to do GH. She saw it on her phone. She ran over to him and showed him, and he immediately called Ginny and put the two of them on the phone. And Ginny said, "Oh my God, you must do it." And not only does she have that fun connection to the GH cast, she also knows Finola Hughes, Anna, from when she guest starred on the series that Finola did in the early 1990s called Jack's Place. In the episode that Denise appeared in, her character was married to a man played by George Clooney, might I add. But she told me that she had a really warm reunion with both of these legendary women on the GH set.
Oh, I love these stories. Now I have to make a special note about a feature in our new issue. Meredith Berlin, the former editor-in-chief of Soap Opera Digest, who hired me back in 1990, thank you, Meredith, has written a novel called Friends with Issues. So I read it in one sitting. It's about three women in their 40s who share a connection to one man. It's out everywhere on January 24th, and I highly recommend it. Now, our guests today are no strangers to viewers of soaps or Hallmark. It's Allison Sweeney and Lacey Chabert, who are part of the Wedding Veil trilogy on the network. So let's get them on the line and hear all about the third installment, Wedding Veil Journey, which will air on January 21st. Hi, Allie. Hi, Lacey.
Hi there.
Hi, Steph.
How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Well, I am so excited that we are talking to you today. I think you both know I am a huge Wedding Veil fan. I have watched the first two. They are amazing. I am super psyched for the third one tomorrow. But before we get there, we're going to go back in time a little. And we're going to start with the fact that you both shared the distinction of being child actresses. So Lacey, let's start with you. How did you get into show business?
I started professionally acting when I was about 7 years old. And I just love performing. I mean, before that, I would be singing in church and I was in pageants as a kid growing up in the South in the 80s. That's what everyone did. And I was just like, my sisters and I would make up shows and routines and do them in our living room. And I just always knew I wanted to perform. I didn't understand what that meant really as a kid, of course. So my family and I moved to New York City when I was 7, and for many different reasons. And I got an agent and started auditioning for commercials. And did a commercial. My first one was a cough syrup commercial. And I remember having to act very sick. And then at the end of the shoot, they gave me a box of free cough syrup. And I thought that was so exciting because it was free stuff. It was my first swag bag, right? And then from then on out, I did, you know, other things. I did a television movie. I was finally in Les Miserables on Broadway. I did My Children for a short while. And I just fell in love with telling stories. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Allie? What was your like path into the biz?
Well, I grew up in LA. So I was sort of lucky enough to be able to dabble in acting from when I first had the same feeling Lacey did. I wanted to perform. I was a big show off in preschool. And my preschool teacher told my mom, like, wow, she's so outgoing. She would be good at auditioning. Cause of course the preschool teacher wanted to be an actress. And so my mom sort of thought like it was a lark and sort of funny. And I think had like a little competitive spirit with my aunt whose children, my cousins were like, did a Ralph Lauren print ad one time. And so she just took me to an audition. And she told me if I was nice to the grownups and did with it, whatever they said, like, or whatever, you know, showed off a little, she told me to sparkle. That was the thing. They go in there and sparkle. And then she said, I might get a pony. And I was like, boom, I'm in, I'll do it, whatever. And I went in and it was for a Kodak commercial, which of course these kids today probably don't even know what that is. But yeah, I got the job. I was 4 years old and I did a Kodak commercial. And from then on, I just wanted to do it. I loved it. I did some community theater in LA when I was a kid. And like, I would just sit there and watch the grownups rehearse all the time. I just never wanted to leave. I wanted to be like them. And, I did a bunch of like little, I did a ton of auditions when I was young and a ton of commercials. And then I started doing episodic. I was like in all those 80s shows, like Webster and Simon and Simon and St. Elsewhere. And then my dad was like, but seriously, nobody makes a living as an actor. You have to like go to college and be normal. And I was like, well, but you know, I don't want those casting directors to not remember me. So I went on one more audition and it was for Days of Our Lives. And I was 16 years old and I got it. I got the job. And I guess the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lacey, as you mentioned, you did play Cosette on Broadway in Les Miserables.
It's my favorite ever. I have to interrupt.
Mine too. I can sing the whole libretto if we had time.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Allie and I too. So when we discovered that we had this like kindred love for Les Mis. Like every time either one of us are singing it or watching it, we end up texting each other.
Well, I was going to say, best.
Put me on the thread.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're all fans, but Mara and Ali, I mean, I know this from both of them, big fans. Okay, so what do you remember about just that experience and being on Broadway every night and performing?
I could talk about this all day, so I'll try to keep it short, but I have there are such fond memories for me of being a part of the show. And like, I love talking about it because it's not something that I actually do talk about a lot in interviews. And it was just a magical, like 2.5 years, I think I did the show. You know, my mom would drop me off. The other kids were there. We had this wonderful chaperone named Jim, who is forever close to my heart and made such an impact on my life. And he would watch us backstage along with everyone else. And it was a lot of responsibility for a 9-year-old kid. You know, you had to listen for your cue. You had to get yourself dressed. You had to know where to go to get mic'd and go on stage. And, you know, we did our own makeup partially. Like, it was a lot looking back. And I just loved it. Like, all we did was play backstage until it was time to go on. And then we play on stage. And it was just this magical thing. And I'll never forget. I played Young Eponine and Young Cosette and did that, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of times. But on my 10th birthday, I was the understudy for Gavroche. And
I was so excited for you to tell this story.
I might faint.
On my 10th, I hadn't quite finished learning the choreography because you go to understudy rehearsal. Of course, I knew the music because I had heard the show so many times backstage. But I didn't know the choreography. And he has a lot of choreography. He climbs the barricades. He has this huge, dramatic, tragic death scene. And so on my 10th birthday, I walk in with a tray of cupcakes that my mom had made for me to have with the kids backstage. She drops me off. This is before cell phones. And the stage manager, Mary Beth, comes running over, another woman who is still so close to my heart. And she's like, Michael and Brian are sick. You have to go on. And so on my 10th birthday, I went on as Gavroche. I didn't even know the choreography. The wonderful cast was just like telling me where to go, when to stand, when to climb over the barricade, what to do. And I just remember the excitement of that and like the fearlessness. And yes, I was nervous, but it was more just like so excited for this opportunity. And I feel like I try to remember that moment now as an adult so often, because if that happened to me now, I'd faint.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just out of sheer
panic. Yeah.
But it was such a valuable lesson, and it was just something I'll never forget.
That's absolutely amazing. So Ali, at the time that you were doing all these shows in the 80s, were you ever on a show that like you yourself watched on primetime or were a fan of? And what was that like to be on sets of familiar shows?
To be honest, my parents weren't big on me watching a lot of TV when I was younger. So I guess like the big one would be I got to do a TV series with Barbara Eden. You know, it was only like 6-8 episodes or whatever. They didn't pick up the back nine, but I of course knew her from like I Dream of Jeannie, and I used to watch Nick at Night like all the time. So I was super starstruck to meet her, and that was really cool. And but for the most part, I didn't have that sense of like, oh my gosh, I'm working with people I love, until I auditioned for Days of Our Lives. I was like the biggest fan of the show. I was doing this like summer theater program, and this girl was like, do you watch Days of Our Lives? And I, you know, of course had to lie and say, oh yeah, sure. But then I had to go home and like watch it so that I could talk to her about it. And then of course I was immediately addicted. And so then when I got to audition with Patrick Muldoon, like I turned as pink as the shirt I am wearing right now. I was so embarrassed and so nervous. I had such a crush on him. Steve Wyman said to me for years, like, you got the job because you turned as red. Like, I mean, it was so sincere. You were so nervous to me, and it was so cute.
Now, Lacey, you of course have your own soap experience. And it was, as I recall, while you were doing Les Mis, you also then were cast as Bianca on All My Children. So first of all, what do you even remember about that experience of joining a soap and having a day job while having a night job?
I didn't do that many episodes. I don't remember how many I did exactly, but I just remember everyone being so nice and being so impressed that people remembered so many lines. And it was really my first experience with having to remember dialogue like that and very quickly. And all of these things, I think, were such amazing training for, you know, being in live theater and learning tons of dialogue on the soap. Like, it's just so good for you. I remember Susan Lucci was really, really sweet. The storylines, I think Bianca was in a horse riding accident. And I remember doing a hospital scene, and I just was like amazed. Kelly Ripa was on the show and she was so nice to me. And I just remember it being like a really fun place. I was really excited when they would call and it was time for me to do an episode.
You know, what's interesting about both of those careers you had or jobs that you had when you were young, Lacey, is like, those are both where they don't have real time to like be accommodating to kids. You know, soaps are like a machine. You got to go, like you got to know your lines and be prepared. And the same is true on stage. I can only imagine on Broadway, like nobody has time for you to be a kid and to be nervous or late or have a runny note. Like it's all so professional. And I think like a lot of the other stuff that we do, you know, when we do these Hallmark movies with kids, there's a lot more leniency or awareness of a kid. Whereas those are both like, you better know your stuff and be ready to go, which is sort of interesting.
You're absolutely right. I think it taught me the work ethic that I have today. Like the show must always go on. Obviously, there's humanity in it and people are kind and like, you know, everyone takes care of each other and life happens and that's what's most important. But deep down, like, I think it is the reason I'm always 20 minutes early if I can be, and I'm always prepared. And because I just understand what it is to be a part of something. You're a part of that team.
Yeah, a team.
Don't like do your part, then everyone else is affected negatively. So I'm really thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Allie, I have to say too, if it's okay, like watching you on Days, like for so long, and especially my sisters, we were all such fans. And my sister Wendy would always speak so, like, she was so excited that we were going to do these movies together because you were her favorite. And so it's just like, always, she's like, oh my gosh, Sammy.
Oh,
like, you're the best. And I mean, it was like something that we also watched, like, you know, when we were homesick from school or something, and we would be so excited to get to watch the soaps.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And I would be
part of people's lives for so long.
But like when I would watch, if my brothers like changed the channel on the VCR, so like didn't record, I would lose my mind on them. Like I just came home every day, like around that VHS tape and got so ready to watch, like, oh. I still feel that way. I mean, people say that to me all the time, like, oh, I grew up watching, or I had a child the same time you did. Like it does feel very much like, you shared a part of people's lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You did.
Well, Allie, you actually were, prior to playing Sammy on Days as a young Adrian. So you were like more comparable to Lacey's age, when she was on All My Children. What do you remember about, playing a young Judy Evans before Sammy came along?
So I remember the storyline. It was, I had to tell some story about my dad doing something terrible to me or something. And it was in a hospital. No, it was not a hospital. It was like a bedroom. Like I was on a bed of some kind. And mostly what I remember is that my cousin at that time, you know, so that would have been the early 80s. My cousin was a huge Days of Our Lives fan. And I asked McDonald Carey for his autograph. And I got it for her. In the script, in the rehearsal hall where like all the actors would hang out. I do remember that like I had lines to learn and I was on time and I knew my lines and like, it was all very, no one was kidding around. No one was like, oh, what's the little kid want to do?
Well, Lacey, one of your next big jobs as a child was one of my favorite shows of all time, Party of Five. So you played Claudia Salinger very memorably. And that show really resonated with so many people. As like, did you even know that it was so popular or that it was becoming a big deal when you were on it?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I feel like when you're on something and you're in the middle of it, you don't really see it from the outside in. You just go to work and have this amazing experience. And, you know, it was, I mean, the show really struggled too in the beginning. I remember it was, you know, I think in the beginning it was on Monday nights and then it moved to Wednesdays. But anyway, whatever night it was on, the next day on set, it'd be like, oh gosh, what were the ratings? And, you know, I think it was on the cover of, I think it was TV Guide. Forgive me if I'm mistaking this. It was like the best show you're not watching. And it was, people loved it, but it took a while for it to find its audience. And all I knew was I loved being there. I mean, that cast and the crew, you become a family. I mean, it was 7 days to film an episode. We did 144 episodes total. It's unusual to have that kind of experience, especially nowadays. And, you know, it was 6 years of my life spent with people from morning till night, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. And I went to school on set. I mean, I was 11 to 17 during the show. So much of those are like really pivotal years. And so much of who I am today, I feel like is really a reflection of everyone's influence on me during that time. And, you know, we just had fun together and we had so much fun on a very serious show. Like it was very serious storylines. There was a lot of tragedy and a lot of crying. The tagline that the producers would always tell us affectionately was tears would not be inappropriate. Like if you want to cry in this scene, if you're feeling it, tears would not be inappropriate.
That's
funny. I mean, it was an interesting experience to grow up as the character and also be doing that in real life. And sometimes Claudia was going through things that I had yet to experience, you know, like kissing a boy. And,
oh gosh, isn't that the most embarrassing?
Mortifying.
Mortifying to have scenes like that and you haven't had it, but especially as an actor, you sort of don't have the opportunity to like have normal experiences like that because you're on set with adults all the time. So you have to play it out in front of the cameras. Oh, so
and everyone knows it too. So the whole crew is watching when we shot that one scene. They're like, oh, it's her first kiss. Everyone's like just staring. And I was like so nervous and had butterflies in my stomach. And it's funny for me to go back and see some of those episodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another connection there. Claudia being a violinist, Allie grew up as a violinist, correct? So
yes.
Another interesting little connection to share.
We talked about that a little bit while we were filming The Wedding Veil. I feel like it's fun because some of these stories are like actually things Lacey and I have bonded over in real life over a glass of wine. We talked about practicing the violin, and I actually had to play the violin in that TV show I told you about with Barbara Eden. And it's just a funny thing to practice and do on TV when you're doing it in real life.
It's such a funny thing that you guys are talking about. I've heard other people who kind of grew up on soaps talking about like you have your first kiss in real life and in the show, and you remember them both. You remember a lot of firsts, both fictionally and in real life. And it's just such a very unique thing. So Allison Sweeney, when you began at Days as Sammy, kind of similarly with Lacey, as her show gained in popularity, I feel like you were part of an era that a lot of eyes were on Days, and Sammy was such a huge part of that. How aware were you of the impact that you were making on that canvas?
Not at all. It doesn't feel like that at Days. It's such a ensemble cast and you just feel like you're part of a whole, and there's so much work to do that you're just trying to get through the day. You know, like you just have to memorize your lines and do your scenes and pull your weight and not slow anyone down. And that's sort of the kinds of things you're thinking about, just trying to do your part as well as you can. And I give Ken Corday a lot of credit for that he encouraged an atmosphere, and Drake and Deidre, I think too, like really get credit for creating an atmosphere of an ensemble where no one felt like they were really like the star or in some way separate from the group. But I will say, I do have a funny story, which I'm sure you both have heard, you've all heard before, but my first kiss on Day, or before I even had a first kiss on Days, I had a scene with Christy Clark playing my sister, teaching me how to kiss a boy. And in the scene, she told me to, Carrie tells Sammy to practice kissing on her hand. And so I am kissing my hand. And 6 weeks later, I am in school because I was still going to regular high school. And the VCR for like whatever history video we were going to watch failed or broke or whatever. And so the teacher's like, I'll be right back. And it's at 12:30. And the kids are all like, oh, let's see what's happening on Days of Our Lives. They turn it on. And I kid you not, it unbelievably, like in a sitcom, I can't believe this is happening. It's the scene before that scene is on the TV. And I'm like, oh my God. So I had to watch that whole scene knowing the next scene was going to be me kissing my hand, practicing kissing a boy. And it was the most mortifying, like 4 minutes of my life. Oh, I'll never forget how that felt, sitting at a desk with 14 other kids watching me kiss my hand. Yep. That happened.
Oh, I feel for you. That's so embarrassing. What a great story.
And then Lacey, I have to fangirl question. Are you still in touch with your TV siblings? Obviously, yes. Matthew Box, Scott Wolf, and F. Campbell also went on to do a lot after Party of Five. Are you guys still connected?
Yes. You know what? We're forever connected. We're forever family. We're so close. I mean, it's sometimes time, you know, more time goes by than you mean to when before you connect. And it's like, whenever we connect, it's like no time is lost.
Oh,
yeah. Now that we all have kids, and it's been really nice to connect as parents and, you know, as grownups and grow up together. And yeah, I love them all so much.
Well, Lacey, post that show in 2004, you like really solidified a pop culture cult following for yourself by portraying Gretchen Wieners in the movie Mean Girls. I think, do you have a story about that stuff? Am I remembering?
Oh, Allie and I were both at the premiere in Los Angeles of Mean Girls.
That is
another fun little connection here.
Yeah.
I love that our paths continued to cross until they were like really meant to cross. And like, yes, we were destined to be.
Right.
I love that about you guys.
I know.
And now that movie, like to this day, is just penetrated pop culture, right?
My daughter loves that movie. Mm-hmm. My daughter loves it. She's like, stop trying to make fetch happen, mom.
Like, well, you're a cool mom, Allie.
Listen, kid. That's my line.
Well, so for you, like, did you have any idea that it was going to connect with people that way, be such a hit? People would still be quoting lines from it, and, you know, Mean Girls Day, October 3rd, so many ways that it's influenced the culture.
No way. I mean, I knew that it felt really good. We were having so much fun. We were in Toronto. We were filming. We had lots of days off. We'd hang out together. Like, it was, you know, we'd go to set, and the hardest part of the day was not laughing when we weren't supposed to be laughing, because everyone was just so funny, you know, and especially when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler came on and did their scenes, like, just so funny. And it just felt really good. Mark Waters is an amazing director. I mean, Tina had written this wonderful script, but you never know. You have no idea. You're just in it. And again, it came out and it was like, oh my gosh, this movie is really funny. And everyone seemed to connect with it. And even then, I didn't think that, you know, almost 20 years later, it would have the life that it's had and people would love it as much as they have. But I think it's, you know, it's because she wrote a wonderful script, and there's so many universal themes in that movie that just hold up throughout the years.
Characters you can really identify with. You know that girl, you know, each of the characters, you're like, oh, that's that girl in my school.
Totally. No. Totally. But what a fun experience.
Do you ever find yourself wearing pink on Wednesdays and have a moment of like,
okay, so I accidentally will find myself wearing it on Wednesdays, and it is pointed out to me all day long. or, and I'm like, no, this wasn't planned. This wasn't on purpose. Or I'm not. And they're like, it's Wednesday. You're not wearing
it. You can't win.
Now, Lacey, something that was also part of your career at the time and before that was voiceover work. So how did you get into doing that?
To be very honest, when I was young, I mean, I still have a high pitched voice, but when I was young, I had a really high pitched voice. And I went through a time, you know, in my teenage years where my voice was kind of very slow to change, as one's voice typically does. And I was really made fun of for it. And it was like a thing that made me feel very vulnerable. And you know, one of those things that, you know, you feel embarrassed by as you're changing through the years. And I quickly changed my perspective on that when I started doing a whole lot of voiceover work, you know, and I'm
right. Cause you can play the younger roles, and, yeah, and it's always better to hire people who are a little older, who can have the more responsibility and more dialogue, but they sound young. So I bet you were working all the time.
Yeah, it was just so much fun, because it was like an opportunity to play something you never play on camera, you know, because you can change your voice and it doesn't have anything to do with how you look physically. And I started The Wild Thornberrys when I was about 13 and using my regular voice. And then my voice did start to change. So all of a sudden I had to do a voice to still sound the same, you know, when we were doing the show years later. What a special show that was. So many good messages. And it's something that my daughter watches now. But yeah, this closet that I'm talking to you guys from for this podcast, I do a lot of voiceover work in. And, you know, when we were all shut down in 2020 during the pandemic, I got myself a nice setup in the closet, and it was so nice to have a creative escape and to be able to continue to work and do voiceover work from home. And it's something that I hope will always be a part of my career, because I really enjoy it.
Well, you both wound up in such a strong association with Hallmark. And in 2010, Lacey, you did your first, which was Elevator Girl. So could you have imagined that 13 years later, you would still be so connected with the network?
I mean, no. I feel like the answer to all of these questions is it's just no, because you just never know. You know, I've done some projects that I thought would be better received than they were. And I've done some that totally took me by surprise. And it's just why I just try to have fun every day and appreciate every little thing, because you never know what's going to happen. But I did Elevator Girl. It was a lovely experience. And I thought, oh my gosh, if they ever call again, I'd love to work for them again. And you know, the next thing I did was a Christmas movie. And then it was a while before I worked again with Hallmark. And all of a sudden it was became a more regular thing. And I, here we are 35 movies later. And I have enjoyed every single one of them. And I have such excitement for what we have coming up. And the fact that they let us do this trilogy, I wanted to work with Ali so much and Autumn. And the fact that they let us do this first trilogy, and then it was again, so well received, that they said, hey, you know what, let's see if the story can continue and let's do it again. And, you know, now we've made 6 movies together and it's just been a joyful experience. And I'm just so thankful. Like, honestly, I'm so thankful for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ali, your first Hallmark movie was in 2013. You had a very familiar co-star in Greg Vaughn, who plays your twin brother, Eric, on Days. What do you remember?
But luckily we did the movie first. Right. And played love interest. And we talked about it that day because he actually found out he got the job to play Eric while we were filming that movie. And he of course was like ever so handsome on General Hospital before that. So I was like psyched to be working with Greg Vaughn. And then I found out he was going to be playing my brother Eric. And all I could say was like, I'm so glad we did this movie first, because it would be so weird to be playing siblings and then have like under any, so it's just weird.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So it worked out in the way it was meant to, but it was really fun to do that first movie with Hallmark. And I'm going to jump ahead and assume the question you were going to ask, and the answer is the same as Lacey's. Like, you just don't see things that way. Like, you're not, first of all, when you're in it, you're just trying to like do the best you can in that moment. But also, like, as actors, I think in general, it's really not wise to imagine the future of like, oh, this is going to be a big hit and it's all going to work out. Like, you just think to yourself, like, wow, I just can't believe I have this opportunity and I'm going to be grateful for it. And every next pitch I have at Hallmark, I'm like, I can't believe I get to make another one. And then when Lacey approached me about The Wedding Veil, I was just so excited. I can't even say enough, even just to like hang out and have lunch with you, Lacey. I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. We're just like not at a work thing. We're just having lunch at Hugo's. Like, it was just awesome.
It was the best.
And then the idea, I have to be honest, I didn't think it would really happen. Like, you had this big idea of like us being, and I was like, how are they going to make that happen? Is Hallmark really going to, I don't know. Like, it just seemed such a big idea. And you made it happen. And I will ever be so impressed at you for doing this, pulling this all together. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I don't think people realize, like, it's a lot.
Oh, thanks, Ali. It's a team effort. There's amazing.
Yes, you brought a great team.
And like, it's not just me. I get to be publicly the part of the face of it, but it it's a huge effort on everybody's part. And I was so excited they took the leap, you know, and like,
yeah,
they were continuing to tell stories that have the same goodness and warmth and, you know, happiness and hopefulness that you want from Hallmark, but a little bit more outside of the box. And for, you know, Wedding Veil was an example of that, that it was a little bit more about the friendships and how these women affect each other's lives. And
the fans fans responded to it so well that they wanted three more. Like, that's the payoff, right? Like, that we took a chance and took a risk and hoped the fans would think that way. And then they did. And now we got to do three more. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And your movie that's coming up this weekend, I mean, when everyone gets to go to Greece, you're so amazing in it. You're so funny and charming. You and Victor are so good together. And it's just a beautiful movie.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to see it.
Well, Lacey, tell us the genesis of the project, because it was, you're the one who drove the bus here. So how did it all come to be?
Well, Beth Grossbard and I had worked together on other projects, and she and the Berg sisters, who are our writers, brought this idea to me. We had lunch together, and I had been searching for a project where I could be in a movie, hopefully with other women from the network, because so many fans over the years had said, you know, will you guys ever do something together? Will there be some sort of crossover? Will there? And we had been looking for that project. Are we sisters? Are we friends? Like, and I had, like, there were some contenders and I had some ideas. And then they told me this story. And it just immediately, I was like, that's it. Like, when I feel something really deep in my gut and I know that's it, there may be a lot of obstacles and hurdles to get it done. But typically, that's the right thing to fight for, you know, when it just feels so right. And I was like, not only is it about the friendship, but it's obviously beautiful, sweeping romantic stories. And there's a travel movie, which I love. And I had had the opportunity to do a few of those with Hallmark already. So I was like, you know, someone else should do this first one. And, you know, I'll do the one in Canada. And like, we just like started putting this whole big puzzle together. And we took it to Hallmark. And on the spot, they said, this is a great idea. Let's do this. And as I'm so thankful that we got that yes. And it took a while in development, writing scripts, retooling scripts, working on everyone's schedule. We were ready to go. And then the year 2020 hit. And so there was a bit of a stall, as everyone can imagine. And it seemed like an insurmountable problem trying to get all of our schedules together. Because obviously, Allie and Autumn are super busy doing other things with the network and other things in their career. And it just somehow magically was meant to be. And it all worked out. And now we've done, you know, six movies.
So crazy. The Autumn that you're referring to is Autumn Reeser, for anyone who might not know. So tell us about the dynamic that developed among the three of you on set, this bestie dynamic.
I mean, well, I'll jump in and say that I think it was so awesome and fun. And I don't know how much you knew this, Lacey, from when you approached Autumn, but like that all three of us really fit into our roles. Like, quite accurately. So it's perfect that we're not sisters. Like, it's great that we're friends who are so different and choose to be best friends and choose to be there for each other the way that it's written in the script. And in some ways in real life, like, we do offer those three different characters, like, in that dynamic translates into real life also, I guess, is what I would want to say. And so we've had so many times when we were filming, we're like having a glass of wine after work and totally connecting and bonding, and as moms or working moms and working women, like, just sharing ideas and stories and having a good time together. It's been a dream for me.
No, me too. I mean, we were all friends or knew each other in different ways beforehand, but now obviously we're so much closer as we've gone on this real adventure together, especially when you travel and you're on location.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand, like, it's literally like camp, because you're like eating meals together. You're staying up late talking together. It's like being at sleepaway camp in the best way. And yeah. I mean, I did a, you know, parent teacher conference for my first time on Zoom with the teacher. And I'm like asking you guys for advice during the day, and I'm all nervous. And how do I read the report card? And, you know, family problems and, you know, child raising questions. And like, it's so nice to have like a real support system in these other two women. And we make each other laugh, and we love our wine nights after work. And like, it's a really joyful experience.
Well, what does it mean to you that these movies have resonated so much with the audience, that you got another order for another three? Like, clearly there's something here that's working that we're seeing on this side of it as well.
I mean, for me, it just feels really good. You know, we put these things out into the world and put our hearts into them and really hope that people are going to enjoy it and put a little bit of good back into the world. And I just appreciate the support so much. And I'm excited, you know, for everyone to see the movie this weekend and to hear what everyone thinks. And, you know, we read a lot of the feedback as much as we can on social media. And like it really, when we're live tweeting, like that's really us doing that. And it means a lot to hear your feedback. Some is kinder than others, but but for the most part, everyone's so supportive and like it means the world.
It also is something I really think about while we're filming, because when we read their tweets, especially when we're live tweeting, like sometimes they'll quote a certain line or they'll notice a certain outfit or a certain reaction. And it's so satisfying because you're like, oh, I worked so hard for that. Or, oh, like that was just an accident. We didn't even mean to do that or whatever. You know, like we think about all the things that went into making these moments happen, and to get the feedback from the fans live, like while it's happening or, you know, over the next week or so, like you just, I really take that forward with me. I started doing that from days, actually. Like I love reading fans' reaction. Even the harsh ones sometimes are useful if they're well-intended, because it does serve you. Like then you're making the next movie and you're thinking like, oh, they really love it when our characters did this or whatever. Like you can really, and it is true. Like we didn't have as many scenes together in the first three movies. It was like sort of a few hits, right? And the fans loved the connection between the three of us. And so you made a special point, Lacey, in the next three to make it more interactive. Like that you guys were there with me in Greece for over a week, right? I mean, it was like 8 days. It was so great. And I think the fans really responded to that. And, the fan response allowed us to write it or include it more in the second three, which is, you know, how it should be.
And you don't always get that chance when you do a TV movie, right? To like apply the notes to the second.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
But you know what? That's to Hallmark's credit. They really listen to the fans. They're loyal fans of the movies. And they really allow us to have a creative voice in the process too, which is something I'm really grateful for.
So how did you find out that you were going to go back in for three more?
We had a meeting and it was, we just said it was kind of a unanimous like decision. Let's move forward with continuing to see what happens in these stories. And the part of it that excited me the most was, and I've said this a lot talking about the movies, but I'll say it again. It's, you know, the movie typically ends with Hallmark on the kiss or the wedding. And then it's like you're left wanting more. Like, what happens with them in the relationship? What are they like as a married couple? What are they going through? I want to see them in love now. And so I was so excited that in all three movies, we were able to explore that with the characters and catch up where they are in their marriage and then see how this next chapter of life has affected the friendships as well.
What I like is that between the first and the second movie that the baby came. Like I was like, is your character going to be pregnant throughout the whole three? And then I'm like, oh wait, no, time has passed. Now there's a baby. That felt satisfying in its own way as well. In a way that I probably couldn't have told you it would have before I watched it.
Oh, I love it.
And there's another passage of time before the movie that premieres this Saturday too. So you'll get a little more like, everyone's grown up a little.
All right. Well, let's talk about that movie. Tracy and Nick are finally going on their honeymoon in the Wedding Veil Journey. So first of all, you all got to go to Greece, as you've mentioned. How was that experience?
Oh my gosh. It was incredible. It's so beautiful there. I'd never been to a Greek island before. So it was also sort of fun because it was like, maybe wouldn't have been something I would have sought out. And it was just, as Lacey said, like there's the fun of being together with everyone, you know, Lacey, like Beth and I, the producer that Lacey mentioned earlier, and I flew out there together on the same flight. And so we traveled together, you know, like the Amazing Race style, like through the airports, trying to figure out where to go. So you have all that fun too, but like this island was so beautiful and all the locations that we filmed it were spectacular. And, it just was an incredible experience. Like it doesn't even seem real.
Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. It was, and oftentimes, you know, sometimes we're pretending places are places that
have
to be. And so the fact that we actually did get to go to Greece for almost half of the movie, or more than that, was just incredible. I mean, at one point, you know, they dropped us off at set, which is just this beautiful road, you know, and they picked us up in a golf cart. We have no idea really where we're going. We've seen pictures, but it just doesn't do it justice. And we are on this like cliffside going up on the golf cart, hold it on. And we get to the Acropolis and we're filming in a place that they've never filmed a movie before. And we are just, I mean, all of us have tears in our eyes. It's just so beautiful. And you can't believe, like, this is really my job today. This is my office today. What a blessed experience. We took 900 million photos.
But the best one is Victor's.
Yes. I'm like so embarrassed to post this, but I think we have to now. He has a video of us, unbeknownst to us. He's videoing us, right? And we're all going wild trying to take like the most amazing photographs. We're photographing each other, just running around this place. And he's like, look at this, influencers in the wild. It is so embarrassing. It's so funny because we were just so excited. We're all talking together. Everyone has tears in their eyes. It's like, I can't believe
it. We were like, oh my God, where are we right now? And he's just like, yeah, National Geographic shooting us. Like, it was really amazing though. It deserved it.
But when you go on these shows that, you know, take the audience abroad, like I always say, like, I want them to feel like they're there with us. And, you know, the place where you are becomes a character in the movie. And,
yeah,
you know, you have to show it off as much as possible. And it's I think that the whole crew and Ron Oliver, our director, did a wonderful job of portraying that. And oh my gosh, your wardrobe in this movie.
Oh,
your wardrobe is like stunning. Like you,
oh, I'm so glad.
Just look so amazing in every single frame. And Geralyn, our costume designer, always does a wonderful job. But it was fun to see Tracy on vacation.
But she did a great job, like making each woman so different. All our characters are so unique and giving them each, you know, real life. That was really cool. But I want to go back to the locations for a second because it's so funny. We shot one day in this place called Anthony Quinn Bay, and it's up on kind of a cliff. And it was the most beautiful bay that you're looking out over. And we had these scenes, you know, at the end of the movie, a little toast that we do, and some other kind of key moments in the movie. But that was where we're located. And I had to, but Lacey and Autumn and I were all dressed up in these beautiful dresses for a reason I don't want to give away. And but we look down and there's a beach down below, and there's these like rickety, like dangerous looking stairs. And the three of us, like without even hesitating, we were like, but we have to take a picture down there. And so like in between scenes, and normally like you're tired in between scenes and we're wearing these fancy dresses and we just want to like sit still and not get in the way and like blah, blah, blah. No, the three of us like take off and start like jetting down the stairs. We kick our heels off. We're like running and the producers are chasing after us. Like, be careful. What are you doing? Where are you going? And then when they saw like what the photos we were getting, the camera, the photographer they had hired, like was running down after us to get these photos. Dave came down and was like, I'll take the pictures. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was so funny, you know, because we were like, we have to take every possible angle of these this location.
Oh, it was
so messy. We love, Allie, that you're working with Victor Webster, who was Nicholas on Days in this film. So did you cross paths with him a lot? Like, you know, when he was on Days?
Oh, no, we didn't really work together when he was on Days, but it was really funny because I remember his story, I guess maybe because I work with Lauren Coslow a lot. Like I remember his story sort of clearly. Also, Mara, I like to say that I really know my Days of Our Lives history. So anyway, I was like giving him a lot of like asking him about it, and he really doesn't remember that. Like he wasn't on for very long, but in my mind, I was like, oh my God, what are you talking about? But yeah, like we had a really nice sort of evening talking about John Aniston. That was really like, especially being in Greece. I mean, my God, we were like just giving him, we had a toast to him one night and telling stories to everybody else about like what a pro he was and how funny he was. And I think I told everyone like one of his famous jokes, that he would like enrapture the whole crew with, but like, it was just fun. It was fun to reminisce about that.
We're going to put you to the test. Lacey, you had 35 movies for Hallmark. How many of them can you name?
Okay. Okay. Is there like a time clock? I got nervous right away.
No,
okay.
I will not put you on the clock.
I'm going to do my best. Okay. Elevator Girl, Matchmaker Santa, Color of Rain, A Royal Christmas, All of My Heart, A Christmas Melody, All of My Heart 2, All of My Heart 3. There were 5 crosswords. Love, Romance, and Chocolate, Love on Safari, 6 Wedding Veils. I mean, you know, just 6 Wedding Veils. We don't need the actual title.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We know. We get it. We'll give you that.
Oh, gosh. My Secret Valentine, The Sweetest Christmas, A Wish for Christmas. I was pregnant in that one. How many?
Wow, you're doing great.
You're doing really well. There's a Winter in...
A Winter in Vail, of course. Sweet Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Haul Out the Holly.
Haul Out the Holly, yes, the most recent.
That was so funny.
I think that's about it, right?
That's a pretty solid, if I had checked them off to have them in a list. Allie, you're next.
Oh, geez.
You
I have that many.
I think you have 25.
That's a lot. It's hard to remember the titles.
That's really good, Lacey. All right. So some of them, sometimes they change title, which is tricky. I knew it as Radio Hype, but it became Love on the Air. The one I did with Greg changed title 3 times. I think it's now called Second Chances. Is that right? Then I did 5 Murder, She Baked, and now it's called Hannah Swenson. So there was 1 Hannah Swenson, 5 Chronicle Mysteries. And I did Christmas at Holly Lodge, Open by Christmas. what was the one last year?
A magical
Christmas Village.
You got them pretty good. You did.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yay. Oof, that was stressful.
Yeah, that was stressful. Now I have more titles in my head. But you know what I can't ever remember? And this is, do you relate to that? Unless I've played it for more than one movie, I never remember my character's name. I feel like once I wrap, I'm like, she's done. Goodbye.
Yeah, the end.
Right. That's why The Wedding Veil is like, you know, so present, because you get to play it again.
Exactly. Exactly. Or like Jenny in All of My Heart. We've done that multiple times. Or, you know, it's funny.
But it was funny because for some reason, also sometimes people's names stay with you more. So like Luke and I worked together on the last one, Christmas Village, but like his character's name does not stay in my mind. So I'm like, Luke McFarlane's character, you know, I mean, Luke, right? Like, but what's his character's name? I can't. And even when we were filming the scenes, I'd be like, oh my God, did I say his character's name or his real name? Because I can't, sometimes the names don't stay with me.
So Allie, I noticed on your social media that you are doing something very special tomorrow night, which is a Days related giveaway. Can you tell us all about it?
Okay. So it was so funny how this worked out, but Dave and I have been cleaning out the attic, which is a big undertaking. We've been in that house a long time. And I came across, you know, all sorts of stuff randomly from the last, you know, decade and a half of my life that I put in there, but some Days were live scripts. And I was so excited to find them, and they're autographed, I should say, autographed Days of Our Live scripts. And I was so excited to find them, and they had so many great names on them from, you know, back in the day. And so I decided to do a little giveaway with the live tweeting on Saturday night for all the fans who tune in, because actually it's sort of funny, you know, especially with Victor doing the show with me, like a lot of Days fans tune in and watch these movies also. So I wanted to celebrate that. And so I have a little Days of Our Lives, Allie Sweeney giveaway from things I found in my attic to share with some of the fans who tweet with me using the hashtag The Wedding Veil.
And they can get one of those scripts?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. This is really important because I have it right here. The scripts I have are from Thursday, July 27th, 2006. Ooh. And some of the cast that I have on here is Sammy, EJ, John, Austin, Carrie, Lucas, Billy, Chelsea, Marlena, Kate, Sean, Mimi, Philip, Belle, Lexi, Maggie. So that's the kind of fun classic autograph script.
Nothing but the hits, I say.
Yeah, right. It's a fabulous collection. So everyone needs to tweet along with you, and then you're going to pick some lucky winners of these scripts. Is that how it's going to go?
Okay. That's exactly how it's going to go. So yeah, I would love to just chat with everyone while we're watching and enjoying the movie.
Awesome.
Love that.
Well, we can't wait. And again, thank you both so much for being here and spending so much time with us. As I've made it very clear, I love the movies. If people listening haven't watched them yet, well, it is a gift coming your way.
Yeah. And they'll do like a whole marathon leading up to the premiere of the new one Saturday night. My parents watch them all each week. So feel free.
Thank you both so much for joining us. This was such a great chat. Everyone needs to watch The Wedding Veil Journey.
Oh, so nice being here. Hope you guys enjoy the movie.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Allison Sweeney and Lacey Chabert for being our guests. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.